joining us on the line for the same subject, Ian Basarabi, the future of work. Ian, a very good morning. How are you? What was your feeling last night when you watched President Ramaphosa speaking?
Morning, Howard. I was actually pleasantly relieved, if I could use those words, because I was hoping that he was going to do it, and the delay of him coming on kind of like stretched that anxiety. But once he'd said it, it was then now we can act. And for me, I hope that everybody will heed the call and will be responsible, because my concern, having just taken a drive yesterday and just looking around, it was like everybody was just going about life normally. I honestly didn't think people were taking this seriously. Now, maybe I'm coming from a different perspective because I have been self-isolating and self-distancing by actually working from home for a week. But I was like quite shocked to see how many people were out and about yesterday. So I think it's an important move and it's a necessary move, but I also don't think it's the end of the world, to be honest.
No, I don't think so either. But and another thing to keep in mind is that even though we are 3 days away from lockdown, remember that the virus is out there, and the point is you don't want to certainly contract it now before going into lockdown and bringing it into your home. So just please be aware of that. Just a message. Josh says, hi Howard, I'm grateful that Chai will remain on air. Will there be newspapers like the Jewish Report? And I just asked Petra Krost, editor of the Jewish Report, that question. Her answer is, we'll be publishing this week as normal, and next week in our bumper Pesach edition, we will be digital only. We will send out an extensive newsletter. If people want to be sent that digital edition newsletter, they must please email admin@sajewishreport.co.za to be put on the list. Otherwise, you can simply go to the website, which is, of course, sajr.co.za. So, just to tell you again, this week will be a normal publication, print publication, but next week will be digital only. And obviously for good reason. Ian, so we're about to go into our homes for a period of 21 days, aside from if we need medical care or if we need to go and buy food. What is the strategy? What kind of strategies should we be looking out for?
So I think we need to start being pragmatic about this. So this is a reality. It's a hard reality, and especially for small businesses, we need to be cognizant that we have tough times ahead. And I wouldn't just look at this as 21 days of tough times ahead. I think it's going to be an extended period. And it's very important that we make ourselves aware of what is being made available. And there is stuff being made available. So anybody that says, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, my business is going to close, we need to be cognizant of what's being put out there. And I wanted to chat to the listeners today about the debt relief fund for business, which is now live. Mm-hmm. So just to give a little bit of background, is that the purpose of setting up this fund, this has been set up by the Minister of Small Business, the name eludes me now, but the point of the fund is to mitigate the impact of the economic shutdown. So we all know, like I say, that we're all going to be impacted, and specifically small, micro, and medium enterprises. So there is a way to go about seeking assistance under the debt relief fund, but it's very important. There's two things that you need to be aware of. You need to demonstrate the direct link of the impact of the potential impact that the COVID-19 virus is having on your business. So give it a lot of thought about like how the impact from various angles. I think you need to think broad in terms of the long term, the short term, immediate term. And I think the other important thing is that the facility is also not only going to help people with financial funding, but also the ability to acquire raw materials, pay laborers. I know, Howard, you spoke about that earlier, as well as operational costs. So they're really thinking out of the box, which really gives me a lot of confidence that these interventions are going to be structured in a way not just to put money in people's bank accounts. It's also going to help people to continue their businesses where they can. The third important thing I should add is that you have to register for this. It's not going to come looking for you. So there is a website that went live at midnight and is now up and running, and it's accessible. I'm going to read it out and I will post it because I think it's very important that, that people go on and start doing this in the days ahead, because no doubt this website is going to be overwhelmed or quite traffic congested. It's www.smmesa.gov.za. And I think that's probably the most important thing that, that people can use, specifically people that have small businesses, listeners that have small businesses, can really reach out and get some peace of mind that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that it isn't just doom and gloom.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that is important, and the sense that people aren't alone. I think that's important, and every area has a responsibility around that. You know, that's why we were saying a little bit earlier, Chai FM, we will do our darndest to make sure that we're on air, to be able to be there for people through the system. Peter Crost saying, would send me a message now saying, Howard, please let your listeners know we are working around the clock to ensure that, that readers get the kind of content that they expect from us. We will be with our readers through this crisis. And I love that. I love the fact that, that we've got, different areas that and it's a question I was asking yesterday. Because following a conversation I had with my son over the weekend where he was tremendously anxious, and I realized he needs a job around COVID-19. He needs to know what his contribution to this crisis is. We all do. And if we all look at it and say, okay, so my responsibility is this, and this, the Jewish Report's responsibility is that, and Ian, yours is, and I know that you're setting up Zoom calls to help people and train people. Yeah. You're trying to make technology accessible to people that might battle with it. We've all got a job, and I absolutely love that. Government is saying the same. You know, we can't just throw money at it, but if you fit certain criteria, we're there. We want to try and help everybody through it. You know, this 2 billion rand fund, of course it's not enough, but what an incredible gesture by private citizens to say, you know, we're part of this.
Howard, I think that's such a valuable point, is that we all need to realize that we can lead in some way. This is not about people trying to outdo each other, and I agree with you. I think it's a phenomenal gesture that this funding has come through from the respective families. But not everybody has that financial ability. But people have skills that maybe you've actually wanted to share, but you haven't had the ability. This is a golden opportunity to stand up and shine. And I would say that everybody can add value and help one another. You mentioned I've been at like a loose end in terms of, because I'm such an extrovert and I'm always out and about meeting people, is I've had to find a different channel. And as you mentioned, I'm using Zoom because it helps me to connect with, first of all, my loved ones. My parents are under lockdown in Sanrium Gardens, so we have a Zoom call the whole family every day. Plus I have meetings, I attend Shirim, I do everything via Zoom. And the point is that the more we can make people feel comfortable about using this technology and then not worrying about the technology and just being able to keep in touch during this time, we can then be very comfortable in the sense that we're not losing contact with each other. So, Howard, if anybody wants to, I will be hosting what I call an open session from 11 o'clock today, and then I'll do another one this evening at 8 o'clock. And it's really just a Q&A for anybody that wants to have a chat, ask a question. No question is a stupid question, and it's really my way of saying, let's stay connected while we're apart.
Ian, coming back to the future of work, and ways in which we could manage this. You're setting up a training call for people to be able to work remotely. That's the new normal, isn't it?
Howard, it is, and it's not just the new normal for us from a work perspective. I've observed my two children that have been, they've been off school now for just over a week. And that's the reality. Just as an example, tonight my daughter is doing, one of her bat mitzvah program lessons over Zoom. So once again, we're slowly adapting to, this need to be connected. And I think that's the most important thing, is that by keeping in touch, we can connect to people that are, first of all, valuable to us, but also very important to us from a business perspective. So I want people to see this in a positive light, not in a negative light. And yes, we will get back to some form of normality. And why I say some form of normality, because I almost see it as a better form of normality, is because we'll be more empowered and more capable of doing things. And that's why this is a time not to really just sit and panic and think, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? It's by looking at opportunities to really keep learning and keep your brains active. You know, there's, Howard, you mentioned earlier that you're going to go out and buy a whole bunch of books. I think that's fantastic, is because now you're not in the traffic commuting. You're not sitting in meetings or waiting for things to happen. You're kind of the master of your own time.
Although that said, you know, I worked at home on both Friday and Monday, and what I did find is that I was incredibly busy during the day, primarily because if you're sitting in a work environment, you walk past somebody, you say hi, you ask a question, and you move along. Here, any question that you ask is either a message or a phone call. So it does take up a little bit more time, but you've just got to be able to manage it properly. I just want to ask you a question from Melinda, and it's an interesting one. She says, why are you talking about Zoom and not Teams? Now, I know I've been working off Teams for the last few days, and I have to say I'm loving it. It's taken me a while to get used to, but the functionality is incredible. I learned yesterday that when the camera's on, I can blur the background. I could, you know, there's just so many cool things I could do. And that, I thought, was amazing, because I've now become very comfortable, whereas in the past I was very uncomfortable. So I thought that was interesting. But why Zoom and not Teams?
Okay, so it's a very valid point. And Howard, somebody asked me yesterday, why are we not talking about Skype, or why are we not talking about Google Hangouts? You know, there are so many of these tools available, and everything that you've mentioned with Teams is available with Zoom and Skype now. I also realized the other day with Skype you can blur your background. So those are kind of things that have been in brought into it. The thing for me with Zoom is that Zoom has this capability that it can be used for a very simplistic call, just to check in with someone. Like if you wanted to do like I almost call it like the FaceTime call, where that's all it's for. It's just to connect with someone. But then it goes right to the extreme, where you can do a sophisticated presentation or shiur or lesson to 100 people. And it has that ability of having breakout rooms and all that. And I know Teams have got that. But the difference with Zoom and Teams is that Teams is very linked to Microsoft. So you have to have linkages to Office 365 and Microsoft, whereas Zoom is agnostic. So it makes the deployment less cumbersome. And as I say, I've got no affiliation in any way to Zoom. It's just the one that I found easiest. And I have stress tested it with my parents in Golden Acres, as I say. And if they can use Zoom, then I reckon anyone could.
Yeah, so you're saying that is the way to go.
Well, it's not saying it's more about the principles and the concepts that we don't have to lose contact, and we shouldn't actually. We should be more. I think we actually have to be more committed to connecting with people over this technology, even if it's like having a breakfast session over whatever medium you want to use with your family during the 21-day lockdown, because that could just be a nice way of checking in with your family or your loved ones, or even having a team check-in. You know, like usually companies would have like a stand-up meeting at the beginning of the week or every day. I would say that needs to become part of our routines, and routines are very important. But whichever medium you're using, they're all valuable, and I would encourage people to embrace them rather than to fear them.
What is the best video app to stay in touch?
So once again, as I say, my preference is Zoom, but Skype, FaceTime, WhatsApp, you could use WhatsApp as well. You can do a video call over WhatsApp. So it all depends on people's preferences. But as I say, if people want to learn more about the one that I know the most about, I'm holding an open session of this Q&A. So I'll post that WebEx link, Zoom link on Facebook a bit later, and people just click on that link and they can join. They don't have to sign up or anything. They can just log in with that link and they can ask questions. I'll be there for an hour and then I'll be back for an hour later. So Howard, all these questions are very valuable. And I'd be very happy to answer each and every one of these people's questions.
Thanks, Ian. That's where we're going to leave it. It is 8:30. Great catching up with you. And, of course, we will catch you next week.